buckle up. It's showtime.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Oh, man. I hate going into the show with breaking news. I hate it. Even though that I believe that Reese on the Radio is one of those shows that likes to be at the cutting edge of news as it happens and likes to give perspective. But now I've got to fly off on a whim. If you haven't heard, folks, look around, go online, look it up. If I'm the first person to tell you, fine, so be it. If you haven't heard it on the news wires, if it hasn't been printed anywhere else, in fact, I'm going to go to Drudge Report right now just to see whether or not Drudge has it up himself, because I, like many other people in the media, we depend on Drudge Report to give us our breaking news, and Matt Drudge is probably the best at doing it. He's a maverick in so many ways. You're not seeing it, right?
Nope.
Okay. Well, let me tell you this, folks. It has just been announced on Fox News that Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, is taking full responsibility for the attacks in Benghazi, which killed Ambassador Stevens, Chris Stevens, and three other Americans. Why did she do it? Why do it now? Now, if you go to places like Breitbart.com or even Breitbart TV, there are plenty of reports that say that there is – well, Breitbart.com has got the story – that there is growing tension between the Obama administration and the State Department about what happened and what took place in Benghazi. Who's responsible? Who didn't get them the security that they needed? And it's gone back and forth, especially with the comments made by Vice President Joe Biden during the vice presidential debate, saying that we knew nothing about the security that they needed. They didn't tell us that they needed security. And the argument about what the definition of we is, very similar to President Clinton and the definition of is. But Joe Biden said we didn't know that they needed security. And now Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has fallen on her sword. Now, there's going to be plenty of speculation as to why she did this. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, folks. And I know that I'm right. This is the thing I hate about breaking news, because I don't get an opportunity to analyze. But I know I'm right here. The debate is tomorrow. The town hall debate is tomorrow. And there are going to be questions about Libya and national security. And in order to avoid President Obama dealing with that embarrassment and this whole claim about it having to do with a 17, 18-minute YouTube video, he can now say on the national stage
that it was the State Department who told them that it was. And now the State Department has admitted wrongdoing. And they duped him. It's not my fault.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told me that it had something to do with the video. But now she has told me that it has nothing to do with that. So I am not responsible. So it's the State Department. It's the people that I appointed. And they are incompetent. Not me. It had nothing to do with me. See, I'm all right. See, I told you I was all right. I told you that all along. I was all right.
Something that I always tell at work when I'm training people.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I always tell people when we talk about managers or leaders.
Mm.
The way to judge the level of your manager or your leader is to see how their staff is doing. If their staff is excelling, they're a great leader. If their staff is faltering on national security issues, mm-hmm. bye-bye, you and your staff have got to go.
Right, the buck stops there. It stops here.
Yeah, because when it comes down to it, no matter whether it's Hillary Clinton's fault or not, it is still the ball falls in Barack Obama's court. You are the leader of this free country.
Mm-hmm.
Your ass should know everything that's going on. But why didn't you know? Because you never sit for any briefings. You never sit for anything. You're too busy running around spending the taxpayers' money on a bunch of bullshit.
Well, he's doing worse than that. He was campaigning.
So why don't you and Big Bird go get in the nest and cuddle up for the winter, because your ass has got to go.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But Hillary, see, this is the thing that bothers me more.
Well, now wait. So one thing, you know, Hillary, I think that Hillary wants to run for president at some point.
Many people do. Many people.
Why would you take the fall if you want to run? When do you think you're ever going to get elected to presidency, or even to run in the presidential debate? When you were the cause, you're now saying that you faltered. And that caused 4 of our citizens to get murdered?
Okay. That's a very valid question. And I agree with you. Because that would only come back to haunt her in the event of 2016 if she would have run against Mitt Romney, or if she was to run for president that year, even if Obama were reelected.
Or
bottom line is that she would have to deal with those questions if they came up.
Or is this her way of saying, you know what? I'm kind of done with this administration. Let me put this idea out. Hey, guys, I'll take the blame. And then I'm going to have to resign because I'm sick and tired of your bullshit.
Okay. That being said, this is where I agree with the latter as opposed to the former. Hillary Clinton knows that she'll receive cover from the mainstream press about this 4 years later in the event that she does run, as many people believe that she'll run in 2016. That the administration will then run for anybody who criticizes her for it, it'll be swept under the rug and she won't deal with that much scrutiny. It'll be, you know, way behind the back of people's minds 4 years later, and her reputation would have been protected for that matter. So yeah, I believe the latter of what it is you said. So I'll resign, but in essence, I think the bottom line is that she is going to resign in disgrace. Because,
well, of course,
she'd have to resign.
There's no other way to resign. You
exactly.
already disgraced yourself.
But the political.
So if you don't resign,
mm-hmm.
then Obama should fire you, and then we should fire him.
Yeah, but if he gets to fire her, there are several things that go along with that. If Obama fires Hillary Clinton, the backlash of Hillary supporters that happened during the primary of 2008. That will be a backlash during the election. He cannot do it before November 6th.
Or maybe she'll get out of it and she'll say, hey, I was so busy running around meeting with heads of other countries because your ass wasn't doing
shit.
Well,
then again, she's throwing Barack Obama back under the bus. See, I'm surprised that she didn't fight back and say, what are you talking about? We didn't tell you. And she just pretty much fell down on her sword. But no. But the argument is going to be, and I know this is going to be a big, big topic tomorrow, the objectivity here, the objective here in general for this administration is to certain individuals can take a fall who can deal with the political pressure after the fact. And in fact, you know, JC, in fact, I want you to jump in on this based on the comments you just put up there. I believe, honestly, that what I'm seeing here, what I'm really seeing here is that everyone is going out on a limb to protect this president, and even Hillary Clinton would do so to protect the legacy or to protect the candidacy of Barack Obama on November 6th, which makes a strong argument for a lot of people, but I still say that
Hillary,
it destroys Hillary's chances nonetheless.
Well, it does, and Hillary, you know, don't degrade yourself. Why would you do this? Your boss is not going to win. This is not going to change the polls. Him and his tyrant of a vice president, mm-hmm. and basically your moronic ass, if this was your fault, you know, the whole administration is gone. If you're doing this to try to save the candidacy, forget it. Hang your towels up at the door.
Yeah.
Because you're done. You're gone. And when you leave, the black people are going to riot everywhere.
Don't get into that. Don't jump into that.
Come on.
JC, what was the confidence that you put up? You said that she has no confidence.
She has no confidence that Barack is going to win in November.
So she has no confidence he's going to win in November. So she set
him up for 2016.
Yeah, but you don't set up for presidency, for running for the presidential candidate in 2016 and tell in the entire country and in the entire world that it's your fault that there will be persecution.
But then again, we're talking about liberals.
What?
We're talking about liberals.
Yeah,
They'll believe anything you tell them at the time that you tell them.
JC, I think that after this administration is gone, Hillary is going to become a Republican.
Oh, no, never gonna happen.
That'll never happen. But enough time will have gone by the time 2016 come around, and then there'll be enough conspiracy theorists out there to throw the narrative out there that she was blamed for this or she was the scapegoat for the administration because it was an election year. Like Little Mo, the hood loves Hillary.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that because what I would see Hillary Clinton doing is that after this administration, whether she's fired or resigns or whatever the deal might be, because I know most people are suggesting that she should resign. You know, that was the talk a couple of weeks ago. Lindsey Graham, I believe, was one of the first people to say.
Who's going to meet with international leaders if she resigns?
Oh, they'll bring in somebody.
The tyrant?
No, don't find somebody.
She decides that she resigns. What Hillary Clinton will do, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I know she will, what Hillary Clinton will do is that she will write a memoir about her time as Secretary of State, and she will expose what went on and going on. And she'll throw the president under the bus. But that will only happen if indeed President Trump is elected. If he loses the election, then she will salvage her career by saying, this guy threw me under the bus. It was a piece of crap or whatever it is. It'll be after the fact.
All right. Well, let's go. You better get your goddamn pen and paper out. Said when and if taken out of office. You'll start writing a memoir. I said, well, lesbian, you better get your pen and paper. She's a dyke.
I mean, she's got enough to work with now to protect herself. She's got enough to work with now to protect herself from this regime. I like to call them regime. She's got enough to protect herself now with what's going on so far in this regime. And all she has to do is really claim is that with her work overseas and working with other world leaders and not really being in the mix of everything that the White House has screwed up on throughout this entire administration.
Oh, like it was an oversight.
Not so much an oversight. Believe me, if he loses, there'll be a lot of people thrown under the bus.
Well, yeah, absolutely. If he loses, they'll probably find some ways to blame Hillary Clinton for.
Yep.
They'll suggest some
that
people,
goddamn white woman.
Yeah. They'll say that she sabotaged Barack Obama, and she hurt his chances for re-election. They'll clearly say that. I mean, I know plenty of people who are in the business who will definitely say that right off the bat.
Well, and it kind of goes back to what I've said all along, and that is when picking his staff, he chose the snakes that tried to decapitate him to begin with.
Oh, so true, JC.
Because
so
who he's gone against, who he chose in terms of Biden, as well as Hillary Clinton. I mean, nobody tried to destroy this man verbally than those two combined, or even alone.
Yeah, I believe you're 100% right there. I 100% I believe that it was absolutely unfathomable that he would pull in all of these people who, in so many ways, look at his treatment of Charlie Rangel. Look at his treatment of Al Sharpton. Look at his treatment of Maxine Waters. These were three African Americans who were stumping for Hillary Clinton when he was running for president, and he embraced them.
Yeah.
Which I found unfathomable in so many ways, but he embraced them. Look, he brought Al Sharpton to the White House to make him a part of of the education initiative. He protected Maxine Waters from a committee investigation into dirty dealings with her husband's bank. You know, and Charlie Rangel, don't forget about his ethics trial where they threw him under the bus. His ethics investigation, when they threw him under the bus, where he ended up being censured, and then ended up winning re-election anyway, and still, Charlie Rangel ended up toting water for the Obama administration no matter what. It's ridiculous. They throw each other under the bus all the time, and at the same time, they still protect one another. You know, but yet Republicans completely denounced Todd Akin.
Fair weather friends.
Yeah, they completely denounced Todd Akin for his legitimate rape comments, and everyone wants to attach every Republican to him. Yet, liberals, it's astonishing what it is that's allowed. But see, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to challenge all of that in the coming weeks. I'm going to challenge every one of those things in the coming weeks. The way that I challenge it is going to be unfrickin' heard of. And that's why I'm astonished by this. For Hillary Clinton to do what it is that she did today, and on a Monday, for crying out loud, it's Monday. Oh my God! I mean, this is usually stuff that she dumps on a Friday. This is a Friday dump, and she's dumping it on a Monday.
Maybe it's Friday in Lima.
Yeah, she is in Lima, Peru, when she announced it. But to dump this the way that she did on a Monday, the news cycle tomorrow is going to be incredible. The spin doctors and the re-spinners and the people who are going to try to assess this is going to be immeasurable. That's why I'm stunned by this. And Sally D, if you get a chance, call me up, because I really, not that I kind of understand what it is that you're saying in your email. By the way, you can email me at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Sally D writes, he says, knew it. He said, they do have her signature, so that rumor had to be true. And I'm trying to figure out what rumor exactly. Maybe I'm missing something there.
The rumor about it being her fault.
Well, oh, you mean the constant sort of rumbling that it was the State Department's fault and not the White House administration. So I don't know. The bottom line is it looks suspicious to me, but I still can't figure out why Hillary would fall down on her sword.
If it looks like shit and it smells like shit, it's shit.
Thank you.
More than likely.
Thank you for putting it that way.
You're welcome.
I really do.
Anytime.
I really do appreciate it, Mary.
You know, I just want everybody to understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I
got all that. The listeners. Not just the Republican ones.
Well, take a break.
Our Republican Party was founded in 1854 by anti-slavery. No. I guess they must have been anti-slavery racists, who departed the Whig Party and opposed the pro-slavery Democrats. The first presidential candidate for the Republicans was John C. Fremont, known as the Pathfinder. The Democrats went into full fear-mongering mode on this guy and said to the people, hey, if you elect a Republican, slavery is all but over. Well, Fremont lost, but in 1860, the second Republican candidate, Abraham Lincoln, did win. Between the date of his election and his inauguration on Monday, March 4th, 1861, seven of the slave states in the Deep South had left the Union to form the Confederacy, left it before he was even sworn in as president, because they knew that the rise of us racist Republicans meant the end of slavery in America. And it did, too. After the war ended, Lincoln was assassinated by Democratic activist John Wilkes Booth, and then the racist Republicans passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery, the 14th, providing due process and equal protection under the law, and the 15th Amendment, providing voting rights to blacks. The non-racist Democrats fought all of these things tooth and nail, and when the first black men were elected to Congress as Republicans, the Democrats got to work and founded the Ku Klux Klan to make sure it wouldn't happen again for a century. Democrats wrote the odious Jim Crow laws that kept blacks in position of slavery. All of those pictures that you've seen in the 1960s of people turning fire hoses and dogs on peaceful black marchers were unleashed by Democrats like Lester Maddox, Bull Connor, and George Wallace. You know, the great anti-slavery writer Frederick Douglass, also a racist Republican, once wrote, I recognize the Republican Party as the sheet anchor of the colored man's political hopes and the ark of his safety, the ark of his safety. Now, of course, Democrats can't argue with this history, mostly because it's true, although that's not usually stopped them before. So what they say to justify this century of shame is that right around the time that they themselves, modern Democrats, came along, the parties mysteriously switched sides. Now, what really happened was that the loving, decent, progressive racism that's been a hallmark of the Democratic Party took a new and subtle form. They invented a new way to keep black people on the plantation, working for them, like they used to. They gave them free food, free housing, and free medical care in exchange not for a harvest of cotton, but rather a steady annual bumper crop of votes. And the way that they did this was by telling black Americans that the Republicans that had fought and died for their freedom were in fact the real racists, because we were against these new shackles like affirmative action and entitlement programs that keep them perpetually bound to their Democratic masters. Well, it's true, we are against them. We're against affirmative action because we see people as individuals, not as a bunch of sticks, good and bad individuals, and we don't see black people as being so inferior as to need lower test scores to get into college. We think they can do just as well or as poorly as anyone else. We so-called racist Republicans not only quote, but we actually believe the words of that great Republican who said that he had a dream that his four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We believe that there is a word for people who are used by other people and provided in return with free food, free housing, and free medical care, and that word is slaves. And the Republican Party was, is, and always will be the party that frees the slaves.
Hey, yo. Little yoga girl, what's going on? I see you got your little mat wearing your Toms. My name is Dave from that Whole Foods song. You wanna meditate with me? I'm like, well anyway, I guess you better be going. The last thing I wanna do is stop your vinyasa from flowing. You need some mat space, go on, be about it.
It's just that Vinny's class gets so damn crowded.
Yeah, that's what I heard, it gets pretty tight. What's up for later though, you wanna try to grab a bite? We could hit up Revolution or the Earth Cafe.
have a vegan cookie and talk about your day. Or we could take a walk down by the ocean. I heard those hip openers release a lot of emotion. It's all good though, you know, like either way. You feel like going with me?
Nah, I'ma stay.
Hey, yo, girl.
But just not my scene. I think your third eye could maybe use some Visine. Your breathing sounds just a little heavy, cool guy. You need to come to class and learn some Ujjayi. I know you see me every single day like Groundhog, and I appreciate it, but I'm not down, dog. I'm gonna grab a coconut water and be on my way. I wish you peace and blessings. Namaste.
Hey, yo, girl. I just wanna know.
Love to get to know ya. I got a couple next level poses I can show ya. My first choice rubs lotion on my stiff joint. It's thoughts of you that keep my man Duca Matt moist. Your aura's glowing, your Taria steady flowing. I signed you up for my newsletter without you knowing. I wanna fly your whole posse to Varanasi, or we can go to Goa and sip some mango lassi. Cause I love it when you call me Big Baba. I wanna explore your Bodhisattva, unblock my chakras. You got my fourth level exposed. When you fold them Lululemons in a bow pose, you're like a model with that metal water bottle always with you. I'm trying to be sleepy fish, straight up.
Hey yo, girl.
Smog on Reese on the radio right here live on blogtalkradio.com. It is October the 15th, 2012, 27 minutes after the hour. Good guys. And, you know, I love them. Anyway, we're just sitting here, Mary and I, watching the O'Reilly Factor and this story that came out of Boston. I don't know if Dennis is out there listening. I know Sally D out in Massachusetts is listening to this. Dennis the Menace, if you are. I know you'd love to talk about this, but there was the Weekly Standard who caught this union worker, a young black man, who was at a Elizabeth Warren rally. And, of course, for those of you who aren't living under a rock, and for those of you who are, Elizabeth Warren is running a Senate campaign in Massachusetts trying to unseat Scott Brown. And Gail Huff, his wife, who is a friend of mine on Facebook, she is my friend, anyway, so this Weekly Standard video was talking to one of the ralliers there who happened to be a union worker. And in talking to a union worker, the videographer says to the union worker, he goes, hey, man, are you guys fine? Like my dad is fine for not showing at the event? And find $150, and the union worker, the young black guy, turns around and says, yeah, man, and he even goes so far as to say it's $250 if you don't show up. Even if you're scheduled to show up, if you don't show up, you find $250. So this video got out, and the Fox 25 reporter in Boston caught Elizabeth Warren at a rally or whatever it was at a fire department in Boston. And asked Elizabeth
Caught Warren, her at a function for union workers.
For union workers, yeah, the firefighters union. And pretty much asked her about it. Hey, what do you know about this whole thing about unions finding people for not showing up at your rally? And she fought and she hemmed and she hawed. Oh, I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. What you're talking about. Then went on her platitudes about helping out the middle class and the poor people and, you know, attacking millionaires and billionaires and that whole bit, and refused to even respond to the allegations, and then was forced to, and said, no, I don't support it. I'm totally against. But the bottom line, we all know that the union is, you know, they're paying people to show up at rallies.
They're busing people in.
I mean, do we really? They're showing, yeah, busing people in, you know. I mean, it is how, you know, we know that people are being bussed in. We know that they're being paid some $11, if not, I guess it depends on your state, on how much it is that's being paid to these people to show up at these at these rallies. But, you know, come on. It's, for me, I what I find more baffling is the fact that she wouldn't just say outright that she was against it. And she refused to. And I was about to play my famous video, and I can't find it now. Now I'm ticked off that I can't find it now. Why I can't find it? This is driving me off the wall. Why can't I find my...
Well, you know, why are you looking for that? Why anyone listens to her in the first place, I don't know. I mean, after she was caught excusing her lie of being, you know...
A Cherokee Indian.
A part Cherokee Indian because her aunt used to tell her, you know, that's why she had high cheekbones. Oh, how do you know? Because you have high cheekbones.
You know, another...
I must have a whole hell of a lot of...
Yeah,
because
you do have high cheekbones.
Because my cheekbones are almost up in my eyes.
That's true. That's very true.
Uh-huh, funny.
I didn't mean that as a joke.
No, I have very... And, you know, I'm not no part Cherokee Indian.
But you remember in Cleveland, Ohio, this famous audio.
Everybody in Cleveland, no minority got on top of the phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us the phone.
Give him a phone. Let him give you a phone.
You're trying not to drink. You're on phone stamps. You're on Social Security. You got low income. You're disability.
And this was a part of a rally in Cleveland against Mitt Romney by SEIU workers who were paid $11 an hour who were bussed out there to stand out in the cold and in the rain.
And if they're making $11 an hour and they have jobs, how are they getting Obama phones?
I don't know. Apparently, she said everybody...
$11 an hour is not poverty level, not in this country.
I couldn't agree more. Let's bring Dennis to medicine. Dennis, is this getting any traction up there?
Yeah. I posted it on my wall, you know. it was on TV25. Elizabeth Warren freaked out when questioned about union fines. Well, you know, Bernard, I've always been against the death penalty. Oh, that was Dukakis, sorry. The same kind of non-response.
Yeah, but I didn't understand that. The whole time that she's being questioned about this, she literally goes up to this whole thing about how she works for the unions and how she cares about, you know, how she's against millionaires and billionaires.
And billionaires. I never met... You know, the only millionaire I know is my cousin, and he's a multimillionaire lawyer, and he's raising funds for Obama.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
What a waste.
Hey, don't look at me. He's on the left coast.
You disowned him. Oh, if he's on the left coast, then he's in good company.
He's in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
He's in his home.
And he used to work for a GOP representative in the House. In Washington, but I'm not going there. All I know is this picture on Facebook with the whole family in front of a theater saying Barack Obama fundraiser. Oh, please, you know.
So it is getting some traction up there about Elizabeth Warren in this
whole
video.
That was on Channel 25, the Fox outlet.
Yeah, the Fox 25 channel. Well, they're not
because they're the ones that asked the question. They said, "What's the deal about the union fines?" Well, you know, I've always been against the millionaires and the billionaires. I know nothing about it, yada, 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 yada. And then they kept trying to ask her, well, what do you think about it? And she still wouldn't answer it.
Right, right. Well, I saw the video when she finally was starting to walk away. And
right,
I
she had all the firemen around her.
Right. Then she was compelled to return to answer the question. What really hurt her, I think, in that regard was that she wouldn't emphatically answer a very legitimate question. I don't care whether or not you know about it, Ms. Warren. My question to you is, do you accept it? Do you
exactly.
Exactly. Do you accept
it?
Oh,
by the way,
there's
been
the
with the firefighters for her with Michigan plates. That should tell you something.
Well, yeah, but the fact is that when she walked away and she realized she had not given a definitive answer on a fair question.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter whether
question.
Or not it's
you say,
true
look,
or not.
I don't know anything about it. I'd
right.
like to see more evidence about it, but if what you're telling me is true, I would condemn it, and I would ask my opponent, Senator Brown, to also condemn something like that, and then you move on.
Right. It's
and then it wouldn't be if the non-story would have no legs.
Exactly. They have no legs that have been done. If there's someone who is supporting me and is doing that with their unions, I denounce it, I want no part of it, and I would immediately express that they stop it. But she didn't. She ignored it, which made herself look extremely guilty and somewhat culpable.
Oh, by the way, a little technical statement. You sound like you're kind of far away, and also in the rebroadcast.
Oh, do I? Okay, well, I'll see what I can do to work on that. That's probably
like you're far away from the mic.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a strong possibility. Hey, we've also got Joe in Michigan on the phone. Hello, Joe.
Hello there, sir. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I'd like to address a few fallacies that were spewed out by my friend from Pennsylvania.
Who is your friend from Pennsylvania?
Funny, he says fallacies. I mean, is that anti-gay slur?
No. It's not fellatio, Dennis.
Okay. Whoa.
Oh,
the family
Joe,
show.
Are you responding to your from Allentown? I
Correct.
Believe it was Spencer called
Spencer.
From Allentown last week.
Correct.
Well, now,
well, you know,
just so everyone is up to date, what was it exactly that he said that you would like to respond to?
Well, first off, and this is kind of personal to me in terms of how I transitioned from being conservative to being progressive. Now, as you know, Michigan was hit very hard by this past recession, and I've witnessed personally, and I've known individuals who have lost their homes right out from under them.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to, on the richest nation on the planet, you have people losing their homes right out from under you. And you have politicians talking about how, well, this Darwinian view of, this social Darwinian view of life, if you will, where you lose your home, oh well, starve out in the streets. And that's essentially what, and I'm not saying that that's the platitude of the Republican Party, but the extremes of the Republican Party were talking that way. I became disenchanted with the Republican Party because it's been, and I said this many times before, it's been hijacked by libertarian extremists. It's allowed itself to be, and shame on them. Once again, there are extremists in the Democratic Party, but they have not nearly, to the extent Republicans have, allowed their extreme strata hijack the party's ideology as much as the modern Republican Party has. It's disappointing, it's frightening, it's disturbing in every way. That's why I switched, essentially, political ideology. In terms of the Dukakis statement, just quickly, in terms of the Dukakis statement,
the bar fight one.
Correct, the bar fight one as well, inclusive with that. And it's as simple as this. I believe fundamentally that the society should be better than the individual. Now, if someone were to have murdered my wife, I don't have one, let's say more close to home, if someone were to have murdered one of my parents, I, as an individual, I'd probably do some things I weren't proud of. I'm not going to say over the air what I think
I'm going
to do. I'm not in that position.
I understand that. I understand
right,
that.
I'm not. So, but the point being is society should be better than me as an individual, and society should be even-handed in its justice. And I think if Michael Dukakis would have answered in that way, he would have been much better off, because that's how I feel, and I'm pretty sure that's how many progressives feel.
Okay, well, Joe, let me respond to what it is that you just said.
Yeah.
And a very a statement that you made that stood out to me very vibrantly. You said that you saw certain factors of the Republican Party being taken over by libertarians, or the exact phrase you use, if you can remind me.
Correct.
What was the term? You said radical?
Radical libertarians, yes.
Radical, okay. Well, fine. Okay.
Well, libertarians are radical, in my opinion, anyway. So
okay. Well, fair,
it's
fair
either here nor there.
Okay. No, I wanted to quote you correctly because I hate misquoting people, so I always give them that respect to quote them accurately. Okay. So here's where I have an issue about what it is that you said.
You use the term switch your party or switch your way of thinking. The reason why I have issue with this is one of the strongest words that I preach here, Dennis will attest, and I'm sure Mary will back me up on this, is the word conviction. And that is that your beliefs are your beliefs, and there is no such thing as progression unless you've never believed in those beliefs in the first place. You were only following what was considered mainstream or appropriate, apropos, or status quo. What I believe is that, and again, I use that word loosely because I have this one phrase that I say right. often to my wife, and I argue with her all the time about it. I say, those who believe lack knowledge. And you either know or you believe all day. And I know who it is that I am. I've been a Reagan conservative since the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980. I have believed in being a Reagan conservative, and no matter what it is that I believe that the party is being taken over by the likes of people like Rand Paul or people like Rick Santorum.
Which is fundamentally, to its core, very disturbing,
agree. But that's fine. What it is that I allow myself to do as an individual is to have conviction. And that
right.
is, my views are conservative. If my party is taken over by a bunch of lackluster social conservatives or more mainstream center-right or barely right or centrist, if I see that being taken over by my party, I don't switch my party line. I vote based upon those who support my values, even if I believe that the party as a whole is going in some abstract direction, or if they believe that they, you know, they fall for this liberal
yeah.
ideology of
excuse me, we got some breaking news talking about switch parties. Jake Gyllenhaal, remember him?
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal, yeah. He just posted on Twitter, as a Democrat, I'll say it now, I endorse Mitt Romney for president of the United States. # my vote is made.
Wow.
Wow.
And he's going to get help for it.
Once again, I've always been more socially liberal. And really, more so than the party dynamics is the experiences collectively that I've had. And that fundamentally changed me. And that's something that, once again, is the Reagan Revolution, that changed you and embedded something deep-seated within you, and you've always held that with you, and that's how you've developed and
Joe,
enhanced
I don't see you
and augmented your
body.
Ideology.
Yeah,
I see what you...
I'm not a Democrat. I'm a progressive.
No. What I see with you is what you saw at home with the unfortunate people, and it touched your heart, and now you feel that the other party has the better solutions in what you want, that you've always
and
wanted.
And it does.
Well,
in my opinion,
okay.
And you hit
no,
it on the head.
Really,
you hit the nail
Joe,
on the head,
Joe, but if you really look at all the things that Barack Obama and his administration is doing, in the long run, they don't have your wants and your views. They don't share any of that. Barack,
right?
Does
that's
not
why
know,
I support Romney. What Mary is saying, she's exactly
see,
on
we,
the
we don't
nail.
We don't know where Romney really stands because
well,
once
well,
again,
well, okay,
in Massachusetts,
okay, Joe,
Dennis.
Joe.
Correct. Okay.
Okay, you say we don't know where Romney really stands. Well,
we
I'll
don't.
Tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing that we do know. And what we do know is that Barack Obama and his administration stand on big government, takeover.
And what is wrong with that?
On socialism.
What is wrong with a centralized government?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. This country was built on equality, justice, freedom for all, choice for all.
Not initially. What did that? Government made that happen. Government
whoa. Okay,
is the great equalizer.
No. You said the government is the great equalizer. Now, you're talking about our founding, and based on our Constitution,
it was a very bigoted document, an inherently bigoted document, at its onset in 1787, due to the fact that, obviously, I can understand compromises, and we needed the South we needed to be subservient to the South due to industry versus agriculture. I understand the dynamics of why compromises were made, 1820, 1838, 1847, and finally we descended into the Civil War. I understand that, but we must understand that the government has been the great equalizer for the past 165 or so years. And states
when you say
did
government,
not do this.
But, Joe,
the federal
government
did this.
When you say the government is the great equalizer, are you saying that a government document that says that our inalienable rights are a product of our Creator, and that the Constitution is written to protect its people from its government? Because that's what the Constitution is. I believe that you look at the Constitution as a document that empowers
government. The government protects people from themselves. If you will look at it, in 1787, what you espouse, sir, and I can't believe, African Americans were in chains. Women had no fundamental rights whatsoever. This is a progressive spectrum, which has been brought about by government sanctioned change. But now, there wasn't this decree all of a sudden. There are these inalienable rights that this omnipotent speaker from the clouds came down and he smited these ne'er-do-wellers into creating an equal America. That's not what happened.
If you're willing to make that argument, then I would argue that the government powers that be, that created this great Constitution that I know and love. What the Constitution said originally, as opposed to its amendments, which allowed people due process, African Americans, which allowed them due process, the right to vote, and those things, you're 100% right. If we were to take it on its face to say that those government entities or those government-issued orders into our Constitution allowed people to do such and such – no, what that Constitution did was to take restrictions away from the government. Because remember, the government had control over who it was who could vote, who it was who can own land, who it was who could live here and be free.
State government, sir.
Hold on. We're talking about the government used to be able to tell people where it is that they could live, who it is that they could marry. You couldn't be a black man marrying a white woman. You couldn't be a black man and own land in this place. You couldn't vote in this election. You couldn't eat in this restaurant. What the government said at that time was using its law to restrict freedom. The government came in and said the government has no place in restricting one's freedom. Therefore, the elimination of government. So you're saying that... in essence, to me, it's a misnomer. It's almost hypocritical in some states, in some ways, that you're saying, "Oh, the government came in and made that possible." No, the government had to look at it in and of itself and say, "How can we call ourselves a free nation of people who have slaves and don't have equal rights?" And
so, Reese, what you're saying, correctly. You're saying the government, a certain government, say in the South, had the race codes, the separate
correct.
But equal,
not
and
federal.
It was
not
the
federal jurisprudence.
The government that imposed this. So the government's not giving you freedom; the government's giving you slavery, in essence.
Exactly.
And it was the civil rights legislation of 1864 onwards, which removed. The oppressiveness of the government and
exactly.
liberated the people to have freedom of movement, freedom of choice, and freedom of self not self determination, but freedom of association.
Self determination. But listen. In 1896, Plessy versus Ferguson, which you mentioned, separate but equal, was passed. It was upheld by the Supreme Court, Dred versus Scott, 1857.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have all of these but once again, you have different individuals who had different values at different chronological periods, okay? Now, what happened was it got to the point where you have to dichotomize the federal government from state governments. Now, people like Spencer haphazardly want to return all of the power to the states, which then indiscriminately can deprive its population of liberties.
But I think it's unfair for Spencer to be characterizing you when you're not in the air, and it could be the same way for you characterizing Spencer because he's not here to defend himself.
Well, but there were a few things, and once again, marriage. He mentioned marriage and how George Washington didn't have a certificate. Well, guess what? Marriage is a mechanism by which people can't marry 12-year-olds. People cannot go violate social mores and do what they please. It's maintaining social order. Now,
hold on.
What the purpose of marriage is. And I know that's flipping subjects quickly, but we have to dichotomize federal versus state governments here. That's simply what I'm saying.
He's been waiting all weekend to get on the show. You ought to know, Reese.
A very valid argument here when you talk about the whole thing is like why an adult can't marry a 12-year-old. Well, here's the reason why. Is because we know that if there's a situation where an adult wants to marry a 12-year-old, we know morally that a 12-year-old is
They did in ancient Greece. They must have known. Perhaps I'm mistaken, but Nero, Augustus, and even Aristotle, Aphrodites had boys that they sodomized.
But that's not the basis of American jurisprudence.
Yes, it is.
But Dennis, we base our democracy off of Greco.
Greco-Roman morals.
Joe, I have to ask you this. Joe, wait a minute. Those empires fell, right? Due to that
indeed,
kind of...
Indeed, they did.
Okay, so wait. We're not talking about a nation that exists today and that we can now look at and go, wow, look how the Romans did it. And go, look how progressive they are. And we turn around and go, we need to be more like them. They're not like them. And we can look at other progressive nations, like you mentioned last week, like Norway. Does Norway allow you to marry 12-year-olds?
It does not.
Okay. That is because I'm pretty sure that there's a moral consensus in our world that says that is unacceptable behavior.
The Soviet Union allowed it?
But listen, and when Spencer mentioned how progressives were somehow these group of fascist individuals who wanted to impose some kind of eugenist view upon the United States. That is complete revisionist history. I think he watches too much Glenn Beck.
You don't believe that in the distinction of the term fascist? What's the definition of fascist? The definition of fascist comes from Mussolini, which pretty much says,
okay,
out of many, taking individuals and binding them into one. In essence, a fascist is just like this ideology that people like Barack Obama have, people like John Kerry have, people like Howard Dean have, plenty like the people at MSNBC have.
Democratic fascism.
Once again, let's dichotomize it. Or you could say socialistic democracy, by which socialism brings economic equality and democracy checks the potential totalitarianistic
advances that socialism brings, and it guarantees
social liberties. So you have an equilibrium.
Socialism brings misery. It's never worked anywhere.
No. Because it's always been totalitarianistic. And you're not talking about social. You're talking about like unbridled, unchecked communism, full blown totalitarianism.
No, I'm talking
communism.
About socialism, and I'm not communism like.
Okay, right.
Like
you're
Scandinavia,
about,
where
right,
it's oppressive with the political correctness code.
But listen, they just shot down Sharia law. The Supreme Court in Norway did in Oslo just 3 weeks ago.
And even a blind squirrel
They're rejecting any notion of augmenting anything to their culture that would be regressive. Okay, now we can take. Culture should love to take bits and pieces from other global cultures that enhance the quality of life, that add to cultural competence, that add to knowledge, but then reject those ideas that stigmatize, divide, and oppress a certain population.
So let me ask you this. If Spence of us here, between you and him, where is there a common ground?
Well, I think we agree on most social issues.
I'm not talking about social
issues.
I'm talking about
yeah.
on the economic front.
There's no similarity.
There is no common ground that you can he could compromise or you could compromise.
He wants
have
to return us
meeting.
To the Articles of Confederation, Dennis.
Whoa,
there's no
the Articles of the Confederation, that's what Spencer believes in as a libertarian?
I mean, he's never verbally stated it, but from what I've gathered from reading
I believe
from
so, but I can't recall.
Right.
You know, he has said that he'd like to see the United States fall apart and be destroyed so he could start again. That's why he would rather Obama win, even though he won't vote for Obama. He's not voting for Mitt. But he says that way the country can start over with a new constitution and a new way of government.
Kind of this Jeffersonian idea of it's good to have a little revolution, a little upheaval every few years.
A little anarchy here and there. We've never ever
correct.
Hurt anybody.
Which, but going
you know, be careful what you wish for, you know, because you get you get what you ask for, and you're in trouble.
I think this anti-Christ mentality that's been placed upon Obama is completely so far removed from reality. It's hilarious.
Whoa, this is the guy who has a full-throttle attack in the Catholic Church and was brought up on it by the Catholic bishops over the weekend.
You believe, Joe, you believe Barack Obama is a Christian? And before you answer that, let me ask you this.
It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter what he is.
It matters to me. It matters to me. I know it shouldn't, but it matters to me. Let me tell you why it should matter to me. Joe, let me tell you why it should matter to me. When President Obama runs around on a stump speech and says, "I am my brother's keeper," is he misquoting the Bible as a Christian?
Well, you know, and I can't say I can't.
I know where
comment,
you're going with this.
Listen, and I can't comment textually on what the Bible says. A lot of it's allegorical. I'm not the most religious individual on the face. I'm not religious at all. I'm an agnostic. But,
okay.
You know, I would simply say regarding the Bible. And I'm surprised that Barack Obama even – I mean, at this day and age, I really wish that we would have some kind of atheistic or perhaps agnostic president. It's probably happened, but the electorate, the climate isn't conducive for having a non-religious president. So it's probably happened. Religion has become so culturally entrenched. It's this cultural construct. And I think that – you know, if you've referenced the Bible, I mean, in my opinion, Christianity, Judaism, or Judaism rather, and Islam, they fight about one fundamental difference, and that's where Jesus, who was proven to have lived, it's obviously the rest is conjecture. You know, the Christians obviously believe that.
No, it's not obvious. It's not conjecture obvious at all.
The Christians believe that. That you know Jesus was the Son of God, or you know I'm not going to debate on the specifics of it, but that's the basic premise. The Jews believe that he was some farce, and the Muslims believe that he was a prophet. So fundamentally, that's the difference. And all of this bloodshed, religion has brought so much bloodshed to the globe. You'd think that we would transcend this, and it's just so baffling to see how
Joe, before we go to the top of the hour, can you tell me where Christians have been a party to a large amount of bloodshed since the Crusades?
The Inquisition.
I'm sorry.
The Salem Trials.
Since the Inquisition. Where else you got? What else you got?
Okay, so I've already cited two.
I got the Inquisition. What was the other?
The Salem witch trial.
That was Christian.
Okay. That was Christian. Puritanism, that's Christianity. That's Christianity.
Wait. How many people died in the Salem witch trials?
Oh, over 100.
Okay, and who's
Does it matter? Does it matter how many people died? Thousands upon thousands of people died. Multiple Inquisitions.
What has been the reign of terror? The reign of terror under Sharia and Muslim law.
I would agree with you, but you're just comparing how much destruction both religions have caused.
No.
I would agree with you that Islam has been problematic, very much so.
What?
Religion is problematic.
Hold on. If there's any religion that's problematic, Joe, just go put your hold real quick because we're going to go to the top of the hour. If there's any religion that's been problematic, I would ask the millions of people who have died over the past 40 years in mosques and villages alike, from Beirut to Tehran to Iraq to Saudi Arabia and even westernized countries like Spain and France and England. It's been incredibly, it's even worse than that. But I get where you're coming from. Anyway, we'll go to the top of the hour. Stick around. Reads on the Radio, second hour begins right now.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking ish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, ish. Ted Koppel ain't never took ish from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
It's Reese on the Radio Top of the Hour. We are back. A story. Today. Let me just read it to you. This comes from Alex Jones, which White Mike is always telling me to check out. And I don't check him out enough, but of course it ended up on Drudge Report, so of course I jumped into it. This was written by Paul Joseph Watson today. The article begins, despite the issue receiving national media attention, Obama supporters continue to threaten to riot if Mitt Romney wins the presidential election, raising the prospect of civil unrest if Obama fails to secure a second term. The new threats continue to dominate Twitter, and the vast majority make no reference to press coverage of the issue over the last week, illustrating the fact that they are a legitimate expression of how many Obama voters plan to respond if Romney comes out on top, and not merely a reaction to media hype. An Infowars.com story written by Michael Snyder, which was picked up by the Drudge Report over the weekend, has had since gone viral, documented how Twitter was flooded with messages from Obama supporters threatening to riot, a sign that whichever side loses this election will accuse the other side of stealing the election. The story was subsequently picked up by innumerable media outlets. Highly respected economist and philosopher Thomas Sowell also voiced his concern that race riots could ensue if Obama is not reelected. Checking Twitter feeds this morning, we discovered that threats of riot on behalf of Obama supporters are still flooding in, with the users seemingly unaware of the fact that the media has now picked up on the buzz. We checked the Twitter accounts of virtually all of them, and virtually all of them are owned by people who have made hundreds or thousands of previous tweets, proving they are genuine accounts and not fakes. Examples of what people are saying include the following. Quote, if Obama don't get reelected and Romney wins, on life every white person's getting pistol whipped and I'm starting a riot. Another one says, quote, if Obama don't win, let's start a riot so Romney knows what he's getting himself into. Another, quote, you know you ain't shit if you gotta make motherfuckers vote for Romney. Man, Obama better get back in office or black folks will riot. Quote, if Romney wins, I'm going on a rampage. Another, quote, if Mitt Romney wins the election, I think it's our duties as black folks to riot and fuck shit up. Another, if every action is met with an equal opposite reaction, what should workers do to employers if Romney's elected? Hashtag riot in the streets. Another, quote, If Romney becomes president, let's all start a riot. Another, quote, I heard Mitt Romney trina, yes, folks, trina, spelled T-R-Y-N-A, trina.
Like Trina.
Yeah, like Trina. I heard Mitt Romney trying to take away food stamps. If he do, I'ma start a riot. I'ma start a riot. Last one, quote, if Romney wins, I'ma start a mother effing riot, RNS. I'ma start.
Wait, where was the one that said that they, somebody also said that they were going to assassinate Mitt Romney?
Oh, you're absolutely right. That's right.
They
That's
straight up said they would assassinate him.
You are absolutely right. In fact, in the, yes, thank you, Mary, for bringing that up. In addition to the rhetoric about starting riots if Obama loses, Twitter users have also targeted Mitt Romney with death threats. Quote, I swear if Mitt Romney becomes president, I'm going to be the one to assassinate his ass. If Romney win, I'm going to assassinate him, another Obama supporter wrote. Given the fact that Americans routinely riot in response to the results of sporting events that don't go their way, the notion that civil unrest could ensue if Obama is defeated is perfectly plausible. Yeah.
Well, duh, when you're dealing with people talking about Obama phone.
Yeah. Only this weekend, about 1,000 skateboarders rioted. That's right, I heard about that. Skateboarders, because they were unable to attend a movie premiere in Hollywood because their theater only holds 600 people. Racial attacks carried out by mobs of black youths have also gone underreported in media, most notably in places like Chicago and Virginia, as well as attacks on fairgrounds in Wisconsin. Over the past 2 years, both Europe and Middle East have been rocked by riots, but America has yet to witness domestic disorder on any significant scale. Even in serene Switzerland is gearing up for a massive social dislocation. However, the federal government has clearly been preparing for such a fallout. With huge ammunition purchases, police departments across the country are also getting ready for unrest. Are Obama supporters serious when they threaten to riot if Romney wins, or are they just full of hot air? And I think that is a legitimate question. So we will go to our panel. In fact, let's go to our resident progressive now, because I think it's the only place to go. Joe?
Hold on for a second. Joe has something else he wants to tell you that he wanted to bring up, which will really make your wires burn. Joe, do you want to tell him about reparations in the South?
Oh, yes. But first, let me comment on this. You know, I believe that this is complete. And once again, I would say that these individuals are, and I would have to agree with you, they're uneducated. They obviously have nothing else better to do than to get on the blogosphere and act like idiots. So I would agree with you, and that's completely uncalled for. On the second note, yes, I do believe that Southern states should have to pay higher taxes and reparations. In 1877, with the Harrison and Tilden Compromise, it came to kind of its conclusive head that reparations against the South would stop in exchange for South Carolina going to Harrison and not Tilden. So we really haven't finished our work of reunification. And once again, I was just reading an article about how there's this concept called red state welfare. You have high concentrations of poverty, lack of education, which leads to cycles of poverty, which leads to lower tax rates being yielded from these southern states. Most of the tax base is being paid in liberal northern states such as Michigan and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania and Minnesota. And we're paying essentially to sustain this system of detractors in the South, and it shouldn't be
accepted. Okay, Joe, I'm going to get into that with you in the next half hour, because that's a very, very important thing that you brought up as far as reparations is concerned, and that is an area of expertise that I have. So I really want to discuss that. Reparations is one of my most favorite subjects that I rarely talk about on the air, because I have a very, very cruel view of reparations in this country. So I promise you, I
want
to get the rest of the guys in on this riot thing. You don't believe that.
Now, getting back to that list, you know, it kind of goes to show you that list obviously comes from niggas who ain't got shit, who ain't used to shit, and they never gonna have shit. No, that's the truth. You could tell when somebody's not used to something. So they get a black president now because your black president screwed up, and it's time for him to move on. Now you want to go rioting and acting up in the streets? Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's why I cannot. Well, damn, I'm not gonna be gone by the time that this election go down. But you know what? I'll be ready. You come burning down my building.
Let me say this before I let Sal in, and I'm gonna go to Justin in a second. Before I let you in, there's something that I noticed. Barack Obama is the first thing hip in the black community that didn't get played out in 6 months. Now, what do I mean by that? Usually, if P. Diddy comes out with a new rap record, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, or Sean John Clothing Wear, or Rockaware, or Fat Farm.
Hey, you know, I disagree with you.
All it takes is 6 months for the black person to no longer be in love with that hit record, that new pair of speakers, or whatever.
Right.
They are done and moved on. Barack Obama has completely outlived the black expectancy.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? You know what? Where they didn't show any love, had they showed love at that first at that first midterm election in 2010?
You said
that's
thought
where
he
failed to connect.
Well, here's the bottom line: they're threatening to assassinate Mitt Romney. Why has there been no public reaction, Justin?
Well, and wait a minute, why has the Obama administration not respond to that?
Oh, it's announcement. Right.
Well, I mean, hello, you called that.
Justin, are you okay with that?
No.
So, now, if it was said that there were white people out there saying that if Barack Obama gets reelected, we're going to assassinate his ass, even though he's had 4 years and he hasn't been assassinated yet, wouldn't that be deemed as racist?
Well, yeah, it would be, but my thing is, if Mitt Romney gets elected, he does get assassinated, nothing we can do about it. I mean, Sure there is.
We can go on Twitter, and we can arrest those sons of bitches like those guys in Colorado during the presidential, Democratic
National Convention. The DNC.
Right,
yeah.
The Democratic National Convention. I was in Denver, Colorado, at the Democratic National Convention. Three guys, got arrested the day we arrived. No, the day after we arrived in Denver, Colorado, my producer and I. And they arrested three guys who plotted against the presidential nominee.
Excuse me, Reese. Didn't Justin say something yesterday about a problem with Blog Talk Radio and that very subject you're saying? It hasn't been brought up, but Justin could bring it up about a memo sent out and someone being arrested for something like this.
What happened?
Someone being arrested for talking on the air about assassination.
Somebody who hosts the show. Justin, you know more about it than I do.
Justin, did that happen? Oh, we just lost it. Let's bring in Edward, and then I'll bring
what Justin told me, I guess that someone has a host of the show and says something about assassinating Obama or Romney, and Blog Talk cut off his account. And sent the police to his home, and also sent a memo saying that you can't even talk about not only this, but can't also use the curse words anymore on your show, or your accounts will be suspended, or something like that. He was telling me that, and I didn't see the memo because I don't have a show, but both you guys do.
Well, I never got the memo.
No, neither did I.
No, we would have gotten that memo, trust me, if we did. Let's go to Sal, and then we'll go to Edward. Sal. Is this a hypocrisy to the greatest level? Do they not even care?
I just want to know what my reparations are. I mean, I live in Massachusetts.
You touched on a very important part of this, and I'm going to
wait in line, Sal. I'm older than you. I get my moolah first and a cannoli.
I'm in preparation for my reparations.
I'm a woman, so I come before the both of you.
Piss on that woman.
Reparations.
Men having Sharia law.
With that one, but let's just talk about this whole thing about the presidency and the threats. It is a violation. It's a felony. I believe it's a Class D felony to even say any kind of threatening
threatening the president in any manner, if it's voiced publicly, it is a felony, actually. It's not even a misdemeanor.
Or a candidate.
So.
Or a candidate, that's right.
Right, exactly, right. Especially while the fact that he's under Secret Service protection gives him the same rights.
Ever since the Bobby Kennedy assassination.
Oh, absolutely. Edward, have you seen any of these tweets online? Have you received any of them? Have you gone through back and forth with this?
No, I haven't received any of them, but I've definitely looked at some of the articles, and I've seen the back and forth, the vicious attacks and threats against Romney. You know, this is going to happen if, you know, Edward was not reelected. But you know what I think? You know, of course it's hypocrisy for the black community as always, but, you know, when all is said and done, these Negroes aren't going to do anything. They're going to sit at home, and if the ones that do try to do anything, it's going to end up being the same thing what happened when they had the riots, the Rodney King riots. They'll take them up in their own community, burn down their own shit, and live in their own crap. They come out to their own community, and they will be put down real quick.
Yeah, exactly my point. This is exactly my whole point, because I know that these riots, I tell black, look, my message to African Americans, any event that anyone wants to take up what it is that they posted on Twitter, they're absolutely serious about this. I would suggest that every black person in those communities, you bar the door. You put up wood paneling at, like, your place is abandoned or condemned, because the only places where you're going to feel it is in your own communities. And it's stunning to me that that's what it is that they're going to resort to. But I know that, you know, that night of the election, there are probably going to be some people who are going to burn some cars, probably turn over some trash cans and riot through the streets. But it'll be over the next day, and all Romney will have to do is come out there and say, hey, y'all want a job? And it'll be like that classic line that I play here so often. In fact, I'm going to find the audio because I love playing it every time I do. But you guys remember it very well from I'm Going to Get You, Sucker. Here it is.
I'm
going
to get you, sucker.
How am I helping, my brother? Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could. Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
It doesn't get any better than that. That's what's going to happen.
You know, Reeves, you know what it reminds me of? This is the unfortunate part. The Black Panther Party will incite these very riots, okay? Yet
no,
they
no,
will never raise
the,
a hand because they know that if they are tied, that they will be smitten down moment. But yet they'll incite these riots in the inner cities, same people they claim to help. But this kind of language and rhetoric goes nowhere but in a bad place. And it's entirely possible that things in cities like Detroit and some of these really rough cities right now where people are struggling, you will see serious pain and suffering if Romney does in fact win. But if that's what it takes to go ahead.
Yeah, I would just you know, on a side note, once again, I can't make more clear that this is ridiculous. These people are, honestly, I think it's more of a show, if you will, than I think will translate into actual tangible action. So once again, with that being said, I'm from a suburb of Detroit. I currently don't live near Detroit. But I am from there. And
you're kidding.
Yeah, I'm from a suburb of Detroit.
I would have never
actually
guessed that.
I live right next to Detroit. So in Grosse Pointe. Well, that's where I'm from. So yes, I'm right next to the city, and it's very frightening to think of what could potentially happen. Although, you know, and the Detroit Police Department has been cut by 57%.
But Joe, with your social program that you advocate, just festers it more.
How does a great society help Detroit? What's going on is there's, and let me tell you, Dennis, because I'm in it. I'm not living it, but I'm in the area. I'm in the vicinity. Massive graft. Now, what the federal government is doing is, you're right, they're throwing money at the problem. But guess what? The city is not allocating that money adequately. Now, the federal government sent block grants to the state of Michigan, and the state of Michigan sends money to the city of Detroit. They squander their money. It's misappropriated. It lines politicians' pockets. Now, what the state of Michigan is doing, through the governor of Michigan, Governor Snyder, is proposing that emergency managers are allocated or run the governmental apparatus of the cities in danger in Michigan, which are Flint, Detroit, and Benton Harbor, which is on the west coast of the state. Now, that's run into a lot of opposition by the city council in Detroit. They believe that it's a usurpation of the Constitution and what have you. But the city is buckling under the weight of its own financial obligations. It can no longer sustain itself. Police are making minimum wage in the city, and it's a very bad and sad scene.
What about the pensions? Are they getting overbloated pensions like here in the Commonwealth?
Let me ask a better question here. Because I think that this goes into a lot of what is Joan saying, but let me ask you a better question. Joe, does it ever, as a progressive, does it ever bother you, because it bothers me, does it ever bother you that the fact that most African Americans vote liberally or vote for Democrats and pretty much follow the meme or mantra of Democrats, who are supposed to be considered tolerant, understanding, thoughtful individuals, that African Americans would espouse such vitriol towards people who don't agree with them, but yet try to stay at the same time lockstep with what liberals tell us that they are every day? Don't you find a large degree of hypocrisy amongst African Americans who, if I'll put it to you this way, if every African American thought the way that you did, and I saw that within the culture, then I would say, I would be shocked, as I'm sure you are, that here it is that you are sitting up there. I mean, I'm not trying to use this as a subversive term, but you believe in the handout mentality, the helping, the giving the hand up, the giving, giving the handout or whatever it is, or hand up, that you are one of those people who believes in taking care of my brother's keeper, so to speak. But yet African-Americans throughout the spectrum constantly do this whole vitriolic sort of banter when they don't get what they want or they see people disagreeing with them. Isn't this ardently and starkly different than what it is that you preach as a liberal?
Well, once again, there are a difference between Democrats and progressives. But no, I would agree. I I don't want to say it because it would be incorrect of me to. It's not my place. But you heard what Johnson said, Lyndon Johnson, or I'm only assuming you know what Lyndon Johnson said about, we're going to have blank voting for us for 100 years.
You can say the word niggers in the show. He said, we're going to have niggers eating out of our hands for the next 100 years. Let's be honest.
That's exactly what he said. Exactly. We're going to pass this nigger bill, and we're going to have those niggers voting for us for the next 100 years.
Right.
That's a historical quote, so what's the problem?
As a quote, don't feel bad about using that word here. As an African American, I don't parse people's words. But oh, you're a racist! You said that word. I don't believe in that. But you're absolutely right.
I don't believe it's my place, and I don't think that African Americans should even use it because they're degrading themselves. But by using that word, and I think that it should be kind of stricken from the lexicon. But that's another argument. The primary point being. There has been deception on the part of the Democratic Party in trying to – I mean, the blacks, they were a pretty large voting bloc. In a lot of southern states, they outnumbered Caucasians, Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina. There were some counties that literally they outnumbered, whites. And because of subversive poll taxes and literacy tests, rather, the blacks were inhibited from voting. Therefore – Democrats weren't being elected, therefore you only had the Northern Democrats.
Joe, are you trying to lecture Reese on race relations?
I'm not trying to lecture him on race relations.
No, it's revisionist history. What you just said, it's revision. Okay,
so
bottom line, they gave those literacy tests, okay,
to African Americans to keep them from voting against Democrats. Okay? Democrats who were pushing, okay, and literally subduing African American rights within those states through Jim Crow laws.
Well, yeah, but the political paradigm switched in the 1930s.
But Joe, that, again,
the Republicans
the government
became the Democrats,
that you,
the Democrats
that you put your faith in, the government you're putting your faith in are the exact Democrats, the same lineage party, the same party of Senator Byrd, both Harry and the one from West Virginia, the same one of George Wallace, who imposed these to begin with.
I'm going to tell you that's consistently been the right.
I'm not being cynical. Joe, you sound like a really smart guy. You're on this party that promotes programs and policies that are instituted to make
not
the
a
very
Democrat.
That they claim they support. It puts them, and I don't mean to be funny, it puts them in chains, as Joe Biden would say. It leaves them in the situation they're in and gives them the impression that without our help, you can't do this on your own. You're not equal. That, how can you possibly support that?
No, I'm not targeting one sector of the – and I wouldn't advocate targeting one sector of the population for subsidization of lifestyle or a means of help. What I'm saying is that –
Wait a minute. You just said
no,
the policy
no, American
to pay reparations.
Apples and oranges, Dennis. Let me get there.
All right.
And you're for affirmative action as well, if I remember.
But what I'm saying is that society has worked against African Americans for so long through putting toxic waste dumps in inner cities, that they have systematically tried to economically deprive the African American community from climbing. Now, the social ladder and obtaining
middle
class status.
And who's run these inner cities?
Okay.
Listen.
What party has run the inner cities? Certainly, the party.
You got to stop this
one
guy. You got to stop this guy.
We can't stop him.
If whites were disenfranchised, it would be the same thing. But it just so happens that at this point, that's not true at all. Actually, there are more whites on welfare now than there are blacks. There are just a higher percentage of blacks that are on welfare. So that's the truth. So there are more whites on welfare than there are blacks. But there are more – 12% of the population is black compared to roughly 75%, which is white.
I would like Ed to respond to that because Edward is really adamant about responding to this.
Sure.
What I wanted to stop him at was the redlining. You know, what happens with this guy, you let him talk, and he says false things after false things after false things, which everybody's hearing, and nobody stops him. The redlining.
That's certainly not false.
It's absolutely false.
Hear him out, Joe.
Let me hear him out.
Yeah.
You're talking about redlining was against African American communities. It was not. It was against low credit scores and low incomes. People who happen to be in a specific area with low credit scores and low incomes, not being able to pay back loans. That's right. African Americans usually have lower incomes and lower credit scores, and they don't pay back their loans as much as people with higher incomes and higher credit scores. That's not against race. That's against your income and your credit score.
But I'm talking about a system. But listen, it's all interconnected, sir. It's all interconnected. It's a systematic. And we've gotten better as a society, let me tell you. But it's a systematic kind of subjugation.
I understand what you're saying as far as subjugation. Hold on, Joe. I got to ask you this because I understand where it is you're coming from. So you're saying that, let's say a bank or so be it, right, has a rule that we are not going to give loans. And I'm using this as I'm trying to be as layman as I possibly can with this analogy, if you will. So a bank comes up with a rule based upon what you're talking about. Bank comes up with a rule and says, listen, we're not going to give loans to people who don't have a credit score above 550 or 600. Mm-hmm. And that bank, in essence, only gives loans to people who come in and they prove that their credit score is above 550, 600, whatever. And the people who don't have a credit score above that exponentially, most of them turn out to be African American. So because of that rule, they say, everyone says, well, you know, black people, they ain't got a credit score up to 600. So you're discriminating against us. This is what the whole don't you think that that's a straw man argument that the bank is saying we want to be able to get our money back. We want to make sure these people can pay off their loans. We're not trying to be racist. We're a bank. We're a business.
Sure.
And we want to give
sure
money to people. But you were making
Reese,
a straw man
Reese,
argument.
Reese,
that
Reese,
says,
there was one point
that I forgot to mention in my response was that also in these areas on redlining within its heyday, there were a lot of riots and race riots happening in these areas. So that was another concern with the banks because you're going to have every race riot, businesses getting burnt down, insurance has got to pay out money in these particular areas. So that was another thing that that added into the redlining that people all of a sudden forget. You know,
I have a question.
Guys,
I have a question, and think of it. Think before you answer. Would Herman Cain, businessman as he is, former member of the local Federal Reserve Board of Directors, would he give out loans to black people with poor credit ratings just because they're black?
Okay, here's the thing. Now, and I'm going to get on Herman Cain, too, but one moment.
And neither was Barack Obama.
On the surface, Reese, you're absolutely correct. The banks, it's just a matter of risk and liability on the surface.
Joe's going to go on for 10 minutes.
I can answer
his question really quick. Herman Cain would not lend anybody with low credit ratings money.
Exactly.
It's
the economics and the risk.
It is, but risk liability for the banks on the surface. But there's a deep-seated systematic problem in American society from the get-go that codifies
inequality, because if you adopt a Caucasian culture,
then yes, you can decline. If you become more white, if you become white and intellectual,
and you smile like they want you to, you can decline. What's a white culture?
Guys, hold on with me. Joe, bring up a valid question. Joe, you're of the ilk believes. You're of the group that believes that. Okay, now I'll ask you this, and I'm not going to tell you what I believe the type of person or thinking that you have, because you expressed that on your own, so I'm not going to do that. So let me ask you this, because I think this is relevant, okay? CNN did this thing a couple of years ago. I'm almost certain it was either 2008, maybe even 2009. It was called Black in America. They did this whole series. Soledad O'Brien was one of the – okay, so this Newsweek editor – went to two schools, one all white, one predominantly black. And he talked to a group of this one white student in the school that was willing to interview and asked the white student, who were the most popular kids in school? And the white kid pointed the kids out. So the Newsweek editor or writer, or whatever, or columnist, was a black man. And he went to back find out the backgrounds of those kids who were the most popular in school, and checked out their grade point average. They were A and B students. He then went to a black school and asked a black kid, same age, 12 years old, who the most popular students in his school was. And he pointed them out, and they went to go look up those kids. They were C students at best. When they were asked in the black school why their grades weren't a part of like being popular, because in the white school, most popular kids had the best grade point average, and in the black school, the grade point averages were lower, and the kids were, obviously testing lower. And the black kid responded by saying, you don't want to be that kid who's smart, because you're either considered a nerd or you're considered trying to be white. Right? Now, you know that goes on within the black community. Education is not synonymous with blackness.
Reese?
Okay.
May I ask for about two and a half minutes?
Not synonymous with blackness. But
Reese,
yet,
I have something to read, and I think it backs up what you said, which you mentioned a few weeks ago. If I might have about 2.5 minutes, please.
Okay. I promise you I will listen. But what most people argue is that black people are disenfranchised educationally, yet young black kids say education and blackness or authentic blackness are not synonymous.
Well, what are they? What kind of exposure? And it's all about that cultural exposure. What kind of cultural exposure are they getting from the very beginning? Now
they're,
once again,
they're obviously getting it from white folks. White folks are telling them that education is the wrong way to go because you can't be authentically black and smart.
This is where you need the 2.5 minutes.
No,
of the mic,
no,
right?
No.
May I, Reese?
Go right ahead, Dennis. Go ahead.
Direct quote from Bill Cosby. They're standing on the corner and they can't speak English. I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't, where you is, what he drive, where he stay, where he work, where you be. And I blame the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. Everybody knows it's important to speak English, except these knuckleheads. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth. In fact, you'll never get any kind of job making a decent living. People marched and were hit in the face with rocks to get an education, and now we've got these knuckleheads walking around. The lower economic people are not holding up their end in this deal. These people are not parenting. They're buying things for kids. $500 sneakers for what? And they won't spend $200 for Hooked on Phonics? I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you didn't know that he had a pistol? Where is the father? Or who is his father? People putting their clothes on backward? Isn't that a sign of something gone wrong? People with their hats on backward, pants down around the crack. Isn't that a sign of something? Isn't that a sign of something when she has her dress all the way up and got all type of needles piercing going through her body? What part of Africa did this come from? We're not Africans. These people are not Africans. They don't know a thing about Africans, about Africa. I say this all the time. It would be like white people saying they're European American. That is totally stupid. I was born here, and so were my parents and grandparents, and very likely my great-grandparents. I don't have any connection to Africa, no more than white Americans have to Germany, Scotland, England, Ireland, or the Netherlands. The same applies to 99% of all the black Americans as regards to Africa. So stop already with names like Shaniqua, Talika, and Mohammed, and all that crap. And all of them are in jail. Brown or black versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We've got to take the neighborhood back. People used to be ashamed. Today a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands or men or whatever you call them now. We have millionaire football players who cannot read. We have million-dollar basketball players who can't write 2 paragraphs. We, as black folks, have to do a better job. Someone working at Walmart with 7 kids, you are hurting us. We have to start holding each other to a higher standard. We cannot blame the white people any longer. Signed, Dr. William Henry Bill Cosby, Jr., Doctor of Education.
Well said, Dennis.
Well,
you said that with such conviction, I thought, I feel you black at this point. That was amazing.
For shizzle?
Yeah, for shizzle.
You just denounced your whiteness on air.
I'm sorry. Literally, Dennis, you know, and I've heard that speech.
I know. That's why I
brought
it again,
because
you've mentioned it many times.
Bill Cosby would be proud you read it the way that you read it. Joe, I can only ask you to respond to that. I think that's a dissertation of the African American today.
Well, here's the thing. I think Dennis is absolutely correct, but here's the caveat. We have to look at the systemic problems which underline and in which.
Stop blaming Whitey, for Christ's sake.
Can I ask a question? One second.
Hold on, guys.
What was your question, Edward?
All goddamn night. Sorry. All GD night, he keeps saying systemic problems. Name one systemic problem.
Okay, once again, the cycle of poverty,
Jesus,
which has existed. But listen, white. And it's not just white people. It's primarily because the United States is well, that's going to change demographically soon as well. We're going to be
one
surpassed
problem,
by Hispanics. But listen,
one problem.
There has been this system of subversion, which has codified this culture of failure. And when you're backed into a corner...
Yeah, it's called the Democratic Party.
No, no, it's not the Democratic Party.
And their policies.
Now, but listen, I would agree with you, Joe. I don't believe that there should be handouts. Joe, let me ask you this.
You know, do you believe that... oh, God, and I'm going to have a hard time saying this because I know it's going to sound almost cruel to even ask you this. No, it's going to be cruel for me to ask you this because I don't know if I'm frightened of your answer or I'm frightened of the fact that you probably won't answer it.
Do you believe that
society today has allowed African Americans a pass on being civilized people? Now, let me clear up what it is that I'm saying. That because of what you're stating is that what African Americans have had to endure in this country in, for over 200 years and all that stuff, that the standards or the level of standards for African Americans need to be lowered because they have been behind the eight ball for so long, so we can't hold them as accountable as we would to every other group.
Absolutely, positively absurd. I would agree with you. I think that, listen, that is, I can't believe that eugenist crap is coming out of your mouth. I'm baffled, but you're a living testament that that's not the case. So I don't quite understand where you can come out with that logic.
Well, there's a reason, Joe. No, Joe. I don't mean that to be offensive. I'm asking you because I'll be honest with you. If you look at the state of our union today, the standards of African Americans are held very, very low. If you look at it, we do a segment on this show, and I know Mike hasn't been on for a long. White Mike calls up often, and we do this thing called Jigaboo Time, right? And
which Joe probably finds very offensive.
Right. But no, we do this thing called Jigaboo Time, and what it is that we talk about on Jigaboo Time is we do this thing where the national media will only cover a George Zimmerman story, and the New York Times promoted him as a white Hispanic who killed a black child, and that story makes the national media. But when two black men run into the home of an elderly couple, rapes the wife and beats the husband and kills him, gets minute attention. And what they're saying, our national media and even our local media is saying that this is the behavior of savages and it is to be expected. But when a white man kills a black man, we have to promote the racial demographics or the racial breakdown of our society. You know, we had a story in Virginia Beach where two white news reporters were attacked by a group of 30 blacks. And the cops won't even release the 911 tape, and the newspaper they worked for didn't even want to print the story because they didn't want to put African Americans in a bad light in the media.
And this was right after George Zimmerman.
Your logic is very clever, and I like how you did that. I admire how you can do that. That's
clever
very
logic.
Clever logic.
The truth is the truth, son.
That's very clever. But let me respond. And I saw how you turned as if in you know, but let me respond to that. I think that I think that, you know, and you're right, generations upon generations of it goes back to slavery where blacks were prohibited from reading the Bible due to the fact that they could find out that slavery was an injustice and or become literate, and this idea. You see it keeps perpetrating itself throughout, you know, less minutely, of course, as time goes on, but it still occurs. And I believe now that you're right, in terms of educationally, blacks have been behind the eight ball, if you will, as you said. They are they've been suppressed so long in that area that it took a while, you know, when you promote this culture of illiteracy, or you don't want them to be, you don't want the culture to become literate, it's going to take a while, generations, which this is really only the second, third generation of the civil rights movement, to have those those characteristics
the civil rights movement
leave the right.
The institution of the Republican.
And how do you account, Joe, for black before the civil rights movement in the North?
Wait, Dennis.
Because that's exactly right, in the North, because they were treated as equals and they were educated as equals.
The civil rights movement has always been happening in this country. It's been happening since the beginning of the Republican Party and before, not since 1964. So just stop that.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Very good. Very good.
I agree with you. No, the Whigs. I agree with you. The Whigs were a great. No, I agree with you. Even back to the founding of the Republic. Back to the founding of the Republic. Back to the founding of the Republic.
So I'm supporting the party that.
Hold on, Dennis. Hold on.
Okay.
I got to say something, and then I'll drop off. But, you know, this is the thing that gets me about this kind of rhetoric. It just sounds so staged and so contrived, and none of it sounds like it's coming from the heart.
His heart. I know, Joe, and he's sincere. That's the scary part.
I believe, honestly, the people that throw this kind of crap out there and live by these kind of arguments, I feel they're the ones that are a little uncomfortable in their personal lives around black people. They don't relate well. They don't assimilate. They don't hang out. And so this is their way of feeling okay about that. I don't buy a minute of this rant, and that's really what it is. It's a rant. It's like all the talking points you could shove down a person's throat, and none of it sounds like it's coming out of the heart. It sounds like it's just a position.
Okay.
I have
contact with blacks.
Contact.
You know, I'm not. You know, once again, I'm not black. You're right. I can't relate to some of the culture because I'm not black, and I'm not going to pretend like I can relate to
the
culture.
But the whole point is,
okay,
Joe, you're a human being, and that's how you have to relate, not black and white.
Exactly.
I understand that, too.
Stop segregating yourself. See, that's where I always scream that liberals are the most racist. I'm not saying that about you. But this is why I agree with the idea that liberals are the most racist there is, because they believe that blacks are in some way inherently different than the rest of us, which goes right to my point about what I said about how our national and even local media treat situation of crime or any other situation, that when blacks behave a certain way, that they have to get some sort of pass, so to speak, because they can't be held to the same standards as mainstream society. And
no,
that's trying to
compensate for 400 plus years of slavery. That's what that's doing.
Oh,
that's
all bullshit.
Oh, God.
I mean, you're parroting Richard Nixon when he says, you know, those niggas just came out of the trees.
Can I ask Joe a question?
We're talking
about the news, and I want to know if you've ever heard of the murders of Christian and Newsom.
Pardon, repeat that again? I didn't quite catch it.
Two people who were murdered. Last names were Christian and Newsom, a young white couple.
Okay.
Have you heard of them? Have you ever heard of them?
I have not, but murders happen on a daily basis. I haven't heard of that.
Wow.
If you could give me a context.
Thanks for letting me know. These are two young white couple, a young white couple that was savagely murdered by a bunch of Negroes. Now,
crackheads,
I'm going to let you.
They were crackheads, right, Edward?
I don't know if they're crackheads, but they were definitely black.
Okay.
So, My point of bringing this up is these were some of the most vicious and savage attacks that I don't even want to bring up particular details of it. But if you've never heard of it, do a Google search, and maybe we can talk about it another day. Why this particular episode was never broadcast in the mainstream media. Everybody ignored it. Nobody said a damn thing about it. The only way you could find out about it was through the Internet, Googling, or word of mouth.
And this was, if I'm almost certain, this was a couple that was kidnapped, and I know you don't want to say this, Edward, but I believe that the young white woman was raped and tortured, correct?
Yes, exactly. Mutilated and other.
Ask Edward and Reese
things.
A question. This is Sal. I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
And maybe even Dennis after that dissertation he gave. But as black men, I got to be honest with you, I get angry when I hear Joe talking, because I feel it's that there's a level of I can't relate, and I'm going to do everything I can since I feel awkward about that to espouse this kind of, you know, this position. And it really, I mean, as black men, does that not bother you, like, to your core? Or do
hey,
you just take it?
No. But American culture.
As a black man, can
but,
I answer
but
that?
But that's the thing. American
as a black
culture,
man,
white
can
people
answer
like
that?
You. White people
as
like you.
That,
If you become white, if you make this metamorphosis, if you talk white, do you think if Barack Obama were fully black and had characteristics of a typical African American that he would have been elected president of the United States?
Joe, let Edward answer. Edward.
Can a black man answer?
Yeah.
I think it's your question, Sal. Yes, I feel disgusted. I don't know if you listen to me on this show. You know, I call him pretty often. But I think that Reese can probably back me up on this. I've never become as animated as when Joe gets on the line because everything he says is either a lie.
I just
or
said that to him, Edward.
And that's saying something because last time he got animated when I said faux shizzle and I said Mike was anti-Semitic. That was last
month. There is nothing more disgusting to me than these white racist liberals, and they're the most racist because they will come to your face and say, oh, you need affirmative action because you definitely can't compete on the same level that I can. And look at you and smile when it's
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you're disenfranchised, if you're Asian or you're Caucasian,
one thing I don't want. Hold on.
I'm not saying you specifically. I'm saying liberals in general will look at me in the face and say, oh, all the bad things that happened to you people in the past, there's no way you can compete with me. Here's a little 5 extra points on your test. Son of a bitch, I can do just as well on the test as you can, and even better. And I have been doing so my whole life without any goddamn affirmative action. I've got where I am because of my hard work and ethics and doing what I'm supposed to goddamn do.
And that's the American way, the way it's supposed to be.
Now, Joe, hearing that from a black man, and I don't know whether or not you knew Edward was black, and now you just recently learned that I was, but when you hear something like that, and I echo
well,
Joe.
That's true. I didn't think you were.
I echoed Edward's sentiments exactly, that I don't believe that my skin color or my heritage in any way keeps me or bars me from being able to succeed or to compete in any way. Yeah, thank you, Mary. It's not a handicap. What do you think when you hear that?
Mary?
Does it in your hearts? And be honest. And I promise you, if we all bug out and laugh or we go crazy about it, that you know, fine. Just you know, you're a grown man. You can deal with that. But
sure.
Do you believe that people like Edward and myself are exceptional or different, and be honest, please be.
No, this is what I believe. I believe that individuals such as yourselves have managed to overcome barriers that many African Americans have not been able to overcome, whether it be your circumstances, whether they were more favorable than the average, whether in African Americans don't have the same hurdles to get through in life as Caucasians don't have the same hurdles in life, rather, to get through as African Americans do to get to the top. So, no, I admire you guys because you've had to get through a lot more than the average white person to attain the same ascendancy. So, no, it's just all admiration from me. I don't think that black
is
not capable. I don't think that.
Oh, Joe.
But Joe, the whole basis, the whole premise.
Let him go.
That there's a race of size. These guys couldn't make it unless whites gave them a benefit.
No, I'm not saying that at all. If I'm being misinterpreted, no. What I'm saying is...
I don't think you said that, Joe. I don't think you said that.
Joe, if I can interject here.
Yeah.
Let me interject here because I'm a Caucasian woman. You may not have known that.
Oh, fool me.
I have to admit that. I didn't think you were.
Okay, well, cat out of the freaking bag.
And welcome to the Halloween edition of Reese on the Radio.
Oh, what a great show
has
been, huh?
So as a white woman, I'm offended almost by what you said. Okay, I'm an average. I think I'm a pretty average Caucasian person, and I've had to work my ass off to get where I am. Okay, I'm not black. I didn't come from a very favorable you know, background. I don't come from money. I'm average. You know, I mean, I think I'm pretty average. But I've had, and I know a lot of other Caucasian people that have had to work their asses off, and a lot of other people from other ethnicities that have had to work their asses off to get where they are. And that's the great thing about this country. We all have the ability to bring ourselves from any situation and go into any situation we so choose to.
Exactly. And that ability must be
maintained. So black people have not had to come through. Listen, black people, this generation of black people have not, previous, you know, generations, black people can get through everything that white people can.
And,
well, agree.
And if
agree.
I can jump in, Joe.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can't force them to want it or to go through proper channels and in order to escape their situations. And you can't force them to. And to me, and I hope I don't offend you or anything, but it sounds like a great deal of white guilt.
Hmm. It does, and I asked him that the other night.
It comes off borderline white guilt.
No, I am simply pragmatic in acknowledging the fact that some pretty nasty stuff has been perpetrated against the African American community throughout America.
You're right. Joe.
Okay, I'm a pragmatist in that regard.
Joe, that to me, that is
not pragmatic.
That sounded like a very, very soft soap answer of yes. It's like you believe, and you've expressed this many times, is that you've seen what it is that African Americans have to go through and the hurdles they have to cross, and that in a lot of ways has affected you in a negative way, and you believe that African Americans need extra help. You believe that they need an extra handout.
No, I didn't say that. I said that people believe
in affirmative action,
whether of their race or not. I believe that if you're disenfranchised economically, your basic needs should be met so you can survive. I don't care whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're Asian, whether you're Hispanic. You should be able to have those safety nets if you're disenfranchised or you're economically unleveraged. So whether you're race, that's what I believe.
There's nothing in the Constitution to give you the safety net, Joe.
Gentlemen. You know, Joe, you know what the greatest safety net for that is?
What might that be? Because I...
Employment. Job.
But here's the thing, and Mary, everyone was touching on this earlier. Who's going to hire someone that the system's been from, and I mentioned this the first time I got on your show, who's going to hire someone from prenatal care who wasn't given prenatal care on, has been disenfranchised in this great experiment that we call America, and it doesn't have the lingo, isn't professional talking, was raised in a culture that doesn't bring
education.
That's
what Bill Cosby said.
Can I correct Joe again? Your ass and having babies. You should wait till you become not disenfranchised and get your shit together and then start having babies.
Well, obviously it doesn't happen that way.
My taxpayer money is not going to anybody to lay around and have babies.
I've got something to say to Joe from the disenfranchised black man. The proper term is not.
I have a personal question to ask.
The proper term is not professionally talking. It's speaking professionally.
Okay, wait.
Black man.
Joe, what was your last point?
I'm off the air.
Okay, not professionally speaking.
Right. Yeah.
Well, my last point being, and I'm pretty sure, but in terms of this whole, and I've been trying to convey this, and it's falling upon deaf ears. When you're disenfranchised, the whole from birth on, and your parents and your grandparents and the parents before them aren't exposed to the kinds of educations and the kinds of opportunities that their counterparts are, then yes, a counterculture or a subculture arises. People start having children exponentially and early. And yes, bad things start to happen because when opportunities are limited, the primeval kind of conditions take over.
Joe, Joe, I grew up in a one-parent home. You know, mother was, you know, had some alcohol issues. We were growing up. She wasn't always there. Grew up with my sister and my grandmother raising me. None of them, sister didn't graduate from high school. Mother, I think, got a GED. I was the first one to go to college. I mean, come on. Opportunities are out there. You have to decide.
Once again,
you have to decide from which the society, from where you come from. You cannot be a product of your own environment. If you come from a bad place, you've got to change that for yourself, or no one else is going to change it for you. And that's the greatest thing about this country. Everyone has that possibility. They're endless.
All right, that's our show for today. A lively conversation, Joe. Every time, love it. Every time you call, dude. Every time, and that's not because this gives everyone an insight to what it is people believe on either side. And I like the opportunity to have that here. So that's our show. I appreciate each and every one of you giving us a call. Sally D, Edward in Connecticut, Dennis the Menace, and Joe in Michigan. In fact, Joe, we've already got a nickname for you. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Edward was the one who gave the name. I want to put Edward back on. Edward, what was the nickname that we gave to Joe? You remember. You sent me an email. What was the name of it?
Dukakis Joe.
Dukakis Joe. I still love that. It's a great one. Joe, don't take any offense. It's a great name. I promise you it's not that bad. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel, the Tree Summer Radio.
You are the worst person I know. I think what I hate most about you is your textbook liberal agenda, how we should legalize pot, man, how big business is crushing the underclass, how homelessness is the biggest tragedy in America. Well, what have you done to help? I work down at the soup kitchen. Never seen you down there. You want to help? Grab a ladle. And by the way, driving a Prius doesn't make you Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, or any religion for that matter, because religion is for idiots. Well, who the hell are you to talk down to anyone? But you know what? I can forgive all of that, all of it, if you weren't such a bore. That's the worst of it. You're just a big, sad bore.